last Shabbat I conveyed the message of Yeshua that you are not alone in this world. A world that appears to be falling apart. A fallen world that is moving even faster away from its creator. The apostasy, so to speak. The falling away from Adonai seems to be occurring with greater magnitude every day. Hence last week's sermon. You are not alone. You are not alone in a world that is against its creator. You are not alone in a world where self and the accomplishments of self are elevated above Adonai. Yeshua, when he was here, conveyed to his Talmidim, even though I am leaving, I will not leave you alone. You will not be comfortless. You will have shalom, he said, as I shared these verses with you last week from John chapter 14, starting in verse 24. Someone who doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. And the word you are hearing is not my own, but that of my Father who sent me. I have told you these things while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. What I am leaving you with is shalom. I am giving you my shalom, he says. I don't give the way the world gives. Don't let yourselves be upset or frightened. So he's getting ready to leave, and he's saying, well, I'm going to send you something, if not as good as me, something that's better than me. Because they could only partake when they were around him. Yet what's the difference? The Ruach HaKodesh isn't dependent on a single individual, but God's Spirit can be spread throughout. So this world we remain in may be falling apart, but I want you to consider this. Hebraic, Jewish, or scriptural thought. In other words, what I call a Jewish mindset views the world as good, even though it was fallen and needed redemption. Adonai, who called it good, had created it in Genesis 1:31. This was to be his habitation or home. It was in the world that man could fellowship, commune, worship, and serve Adonai. You're going to hear a word later today when we do Torah study called dualism. There is no dualism, a Greek perspective of the world whereby two opposing forces, in this case good and evil, are at odds and thus are a means to explain the world situation. This does not exist in the Hebrew mind. The body and soul were one single unit. They were echad, as were the material and immaterial words. The Israelite was called to serve Adonai with his whole being, which included his heart, his soul, and his might. It was within this world where he could obey and perform the mitzvot given by Adonai. He could have his body, that is his flesh, obey his soul's desire to please Adonai by the Torah given by God. Through the mitzvot, we could develop and improve his soul as he performed the commands in obedience. This is speaking of man. Consider Shaul's inspired words to those in Philippi. Let your attitude toward one another be governed by your being in union with Messiah Yeshua. This is the means for everything. We have to be in union with him. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God, something to be possessed by force. On the contrary, he emptied himself in that he took the form of a slave by becoming like humans are, and when he appeared as a human being. He humbled himself still more by becoming obedient even to death. Death on the stake is a criminal. God did not know death until Yeshua experienced it. Therefore, God raised him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that in honor to the name given Yeshua, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Yeshua, the Messiah, is nigh to the glory of God the Father. So Shaul continues, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey now when I am away from you. Keep working out your deliverance with fear and trembling. For God is the one working among you both, the willing and the working for what pleases him. Do everything without kvetching. I like when Stern infuses some Yiddish. Do everything without kvetching, complaining, or murmuring, or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, without defect, in the midst of a twisted and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the sky. As you hold on to the word of life, if you do this, I will be able to boast when the day of the Messiah comes that I did not run or toil for nothing. In other words, everything that you do now when you're united with him will not be in vain when he returns. Yeshua could make an impact on his world in the now of life, to the Jewish mindset, through observance of the commandments and the Torah. He would be involved in pulling the spiritual down to the earth, into the world of his work and social interaction, so that the pursuit of them no longer were a distraction to him in his pursuit of Adonai, but it became a full part of them. This is the scriptural pattern. His pursuit of material goods and his social life was not to detract from the pursuit of Adonai, but to be integrated into the pursuit of God. So in other words, you have this dualism where, well, we don't want anything of the world. All we want is of God. Yet you're denying the very aspect that God created the world and he placed us in the world. That we are to do what we're supposed to do within the confines of the world, but we're not to be seduced by the trappings of the world. Huge difference. So we see this concept through the term tikkun olam, the restoration or the repair of the world, whereby through our life we are intended to return the world through our actions, according to Adonai's mitzvot, back to its origin. We see this through Yeshua's actions and words, as his purpose was to come for the lost sheep of Israel. That we read in Matthew 15:24, he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, this sounds very exclusionary. But keeping in mind, he had to start somewhere. He had to start with where God had placed his name and where God would develop a nation for his purpose. And then John chapter 10, starting in verse 5, speaking of Yeshua as a shepherd, they never follow a stranger, meaning us, his sheep, but will run away from him because strangers' voices are unfamiliar to them. Yeshua used this indirect manner of speaking with them, but they didn't understand what he was talking to them about. So Yeshua said to them again, yes, indeed, I tell you that I am the gate for the sheep. All those who have come before me have been thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. So thus, for the purpose of reconciling them back to Adonai is for the purpose of the kingdom. This message would be further carried out by his Talmidim when they were instructed to go and take the gospel to the world. In Matthew 28:18, Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore," this is his instruction, this is his mitzvah to them, "go and make people from all nations into Talmidim, immersing them into the reality of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age." So he had to start somewhere, but it didn't end there. So we are in this world, yet not of this world, with a purpose, his purpose. We are his witnesses. We reside in the world that hates him. Speaking to his Talmidim, Yeshua conveys this in John 15. "If the world hates you, understand that it hated me first." So there's all this talk about making lists these days. If you haven't heard, people who serve or support President Trump, they're going to be on a list that they won't be able to do anything. So they'll be blacklisted, so to speak. So Yeshua is saying, if the world hates you, they hated me first. If you belonged to the world would have loved its own. But because you do not belong to the world, on the contrary, I have picked you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they kept my word, they will keep yours too. But they will do all this to you on my account because they don't know the one who sent me. It's like, oh, okay, now we're marked targets. I'd rather be a marked target than have the mark of something else on me. Yeshua conveys this to them after he tells them he will be leaving, but will leave them with shalom. What? He says, or I'm inflating here. You're leaving us defenseless against this angry mob that because of you will be hated? Thanks a lot. How many of you would have signed on for this had you heard it for the first time? Well, I've got this thing that's so beneficial. You're going to have eternal life. Yet in this life, you might experience some troubles. People might persecute you. It's like, would you sign on for that if you knew all that in advance? Keeping in mind, it's the power that resides in you that keeps you. Yet no one leaves, in terms of the Talmidim, as he's talking, because Yeshua continues. He says, "Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done in their presence works which no one else ever did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen them and have hated both me and my Father. But this has happened in order to fulfill the words of the Torah which read, 'They hated me for no reason at all.' When the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who keeps going out from the Father, he will testify on my behalf." The Spirit keeps going out from the Father. What does that mean? It means you have a direct connection, never ending, never ceasing, between God the Father through the Spirit because of Yeshua. And it says, "And you testify too, because you have been with me from the outset." This he's talking to his disciples about, this is what's going to transpire, that whatever happens, you're still going to remain with me because of your connection to the Father through the Counselor. They are to continue to testify about Yeshua and his message in a world that is hostile towards him and to them as well. These were the initial challenges within Judah, where the gospel would originate. Yet the world, the Roman Empire, would not take to the message of Messiah right away. There would be persecution. There would be confrontation. In a way, we are starting to experience these things, though not in the extreme and violent manner that occurred 2,000 years ago. Yet this is a message of hope, encouragement, empowerment. Yeshua promised not to leave us alone, to leave us comfortless. Our efforts are not of our own strength, yet are of the Spirit of truth, the Ruach HaKodesh. If the power of the Ruach HaKodesh is able to continue to testify about Yeshua through us, then what else is possible? In Yochanan, in John chapter 16, Yeshua goes on. He says, I have told you these things so that you won't be caught by surprise. They will ban you from the synagogue. In fact, the time will come when anyone who kills you will think he is serving God. They will do these things because they have understood neither the Father nor me. So this was the condition at the time. The time would come for Yeshua's Talmidim when they would not be looked upon favorably because of Yeshua. He prepared them for the time that was to come. Yet he offered them with much more than just a warning. In verse 4, but I have told you this, so that when the time comes for it to happen, you will remember that I told you. I didn't tell you this at first because I was with you, but now I am going to the one who sent me. Not one of you is asking me, where are you going? Instead, because I have said these things to you, you are overcome with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. So when the Ruach HaKodesh comes, he will show the world is wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin in that people don't put their trust in me. About righteousness in that I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment in that the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. So he's preparing them for his leaving. He's equipping them, comforting them, strengthening them. Right now their hearts are heavy. You're leaving? But there's more. He always leaves us with more. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but will say only what he hears. He will also announce to you the events of the future. He will glorify me because he will receive from what is mine and announce it to you. In other words, you know what the plan is. He's going to reveal these things to you. Whatever you're going through, he's right beside you. Scratch that. He's not beside you. He's within you. He's part of you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said that he receives from what is mine and will announce it to you. In other words, which analogy do I want to use? The red phone on Get Smart. It was a direct line. Or the direct line to the White House. It's a direct line. We have a direct line from God to us. We have been fully equipped with all that Adonai has. The creator of the world has equipped us with the very power that brought the world into existence. The very power that created life through a single breath. Ruach also means breath. for which resides in us today. Thus, we are able to speak life when we speak. This is power. Couple that with the word of Adonai, and we have been given immense power, yet we are not fully living in that power. Your words have purpose, yet there's power behind them when you're speaking through the Ruach HaKodesh. Consider the many things that occurred to Yeshua and his Talmidim. Rejection, persecution, isolation, name-calling, degradation. And yet it wasn't through their own power that Yeshua's Talmidim would bring forth the gospel to the world. A paradigm-shifting moment in time. Hence, an entire calendar starting at year zero, we're now in the year 2020, keeping in mind it's not entirely accurate, was established marking this time, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. So out of a small nation under Roman rule, one man would lead a group of men that would come to transform the world with the light of Adonai. Gamaliel was confronted by his colleagues regarding Yeshua and his followers, to which he replied. So in the present case, my advice to you is not to interfere with these people, but to leave them alone, for if this idea or this movement has a human origin, it will collapse. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even find yourselves fighting God. And thus they heeded his advice. So the question is, we have all this behind us, yet are we our own worst challenge? Are we preventing ourselves? This is of Adonai. You reside in this movement of Adonai. Thus it is from him and has not collapsed to this day. It may have experienced challenges from the world, experienced self-inflicted wounds. Yet this very movement of Adonai still remains to this day and will continue to do so because it is from him. It is here, I believe, Yeshua's Talmidim had their aha moment. This is something in the congregation that when somebody gets something, the light goes off and it's like their eyes go bright and it's like, oh, I finally get it. This was their moment. I came from the Father, he said, and have come into the world again. I am leaving the world and returning to the Father. The Talmidim said to him, look, you're talking plainly right now. You're not speaking indirectly at all. Now we know that you know everything and that you don't need to have people put their questions into your words. This makes us believe that you came from God. After all of this, it came down to this one moment where everything came together. We know you've come from God. You already know this, or you wouldn't be here now. And this I'm saying to everyone in the room and online. Yeshua answered, now you do believe. But a time is coming indeed, it has come already, when you will be scattered, each one looking out for himself, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said these things to you so that, united with me, you may have shalom. In the world you have troubles, but be brave. I have conquered the world. If Yeshua was left alone, yet did not acknowledge he was alone, he wasn't alone. He instructs his Talmidim to be brave, to have courage. You want to know what the word in Hebrew for this is? Chazak. Be strong. Chazak, chazak, v'nyit hazak. If Rob was here now, he'd be using it as a verb. We've got some hazaking to do. We've got some courage to do. So power comes through acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What then does it say? The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word about trust, which we proclaim, namely, that if you acknowledge publicly with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, and trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered. For with the heart one goes on trusting and thus continues towards righteousness, while with the mouth one keeps on making public acknowledgments and thus continues towards deliverance. Acknowledge, recognize. Acknowledgement continues, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we are walking in the light, as he is the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of his Son Yeshua purifies us from sin. If we proclaim not to have sinned, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, then since he is trustworthy and just, he will forgive them and purify us from all wrongdoing. Acknowledge our transgressions. Acknowledge who Yeshua is. Acknowledge who God is. And finally, trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he will level your paths. The key to all of this is acknowledgement. What do you acknowledge? What do you proclaim? What do you believe in? Thus, through acknowledgement comes shalom. Because we are united with the one who is shalom. I'm reminding you of this verse. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you so that, united with me, you may have shalom. In the world you will have troubles, but be brave, have courage, chazak. Amen. I have conquered the world. This was never meant to be a message like a self-help seminar whereby you pay X number of dollars to come to realize that everything that was said you already knew. Consider the Wizard of Oz when all Dorothy wanted to do was go home. She had the ability with her all the time. She just needed to be made aware. What did she do? She acknowledged there is no place like home. We are made to believe that the power was through the ruby slippers. Yet the power was untapped. It required a catalyst. What was the catalyst? Dorothy's acknowledgement. There's no place like home. Dorothy combined the two, the ruby slippers and the acknowledgement, the Ruach HaKodesh and our acknowledgement. Dorothy returned to the shalom of her home and her family. So too, you have always had the ability to live a life of shalom. Powered by the Ruach HaKodesh, you just needed to acknowledge it. It's that simple. There's no mystery that is hidden in Scripture that can't be seen. But I've laid it out here for you. Acknowledge Yeshua. Acknowledge God. Trust in God. That whatever occurs, it may not go the way you want it, but you will still have shalom. So if everybody will please rise.